بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وشاوروا في الأمر وإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: الأئمة من القريش. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام، my brothers in Islam, firstly we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman, and we praise Allah ta'ala for blessing us with Islam, and we praise Allah jalla majdahu for making us from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa sallam. Shariat is complete and easy and simple, perfect, and covering all aspects. Generally, as Muslims, alhamdulillah, in these days, that there is an awareness about Salat, Zakat, Hajj, fasting. Compared to 20 years ago, alhamdulillah, there is a great awareness. That is why a lot of kitabs have been written on these aspects, and our syllabi caters for that also. Of late, what has happened also, now there is an awareness about Islamic economics, business, buying and selling, mannerism while we buying, ethics while we selling, what is permissible, what is not permissible. Although, to a great extent, the economical world is in shambles. Lot of work has to be done, lot of rectification has to be done, lot of correction has to be done. Another aspect that we totally have neglected to such an extent that many of us think that there is no part of politics in Islam. It's not even taught in our madrasas, that means in our Maktab. It is not taught officially from the platforms. It is not discussed from Jummah platforms. And a Muslim in our country lives and he dies without even knowing that there is a political system in Islam. As far as he is concerned, that now because of exposure in Islamic media, Muslim media, then he thinks, okay, there is some election going on. Not in our country alone, but now he says, okay, there were elections in Algeria, then there were elections in Palestine, Hamas. And in our mind, there is only one system because of the indoctrination presented to us. What the indoctrination presented to us, that there is either democracy or no other way. And democracy as how they want it. Because Hamas, in Palestine want on their democratical agenda, criteria, and still they declared it illegal. Why? Because they never expect in Palestine, in the Gaza, that Hamas should win. So therefore when Hamas won, they say, no, we don't agree with that form of democracy. Now they came up with a new definition of democracy to suit themselves. Same thing in Algeria. When the Muslim party won there in Algeria, they said, no, we don't agree with that democracy. So what democracy you actually agree with? You come to a conclusion that their democracy means such a political system whereby they want their leaders and their puppets and their stooges and their surrogates and their subordinates, then that democracy they agree with. Now in the light of Islam and in the light of Sharia, so what are the political systems? Some other time I can explain to you the pitfalls of democracy and the definition of democracy and analyze the definition of democracy and then make one critical assessment of it. But for now, what I would like to impress on you, that we must know that in Islam there is a political system. First of all, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was head of state. He became head of state, and then after him Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhu, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Maviya radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now all that took place. How that took place? There must have been some political procedure. All what I have mentioned, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali, and Hassan and Maviya radiallahu ta'ala anhu majmain, they just did not come onto a seat, they did not come into khilafat, they did not come into leadership, they did not just come into political power just by saying, okay, I'm the leader. No, there must have been a procedure, there must have been a process, and there must be a system employed for bringing them into that position. But because we do not know, first of all, our history, number one. And secondly, when our history is taught to us, we are not taught that what are the wisdoms behind this. Our history is taught, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent the Sahaba to Ethiopia. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Taif. Why he sent them to Ethiopia? Why he went to Taif? No, history is taught like cold-blooded, like how we learn it in the secular school. That is how also Islamic history is taught. With no reason why he went to Taif, when he went to Taif, what happened in Taif, the wisdom of going to Taif, why he chose Taif, and what he did in Taif, what method he used in Taif, nothing is taught like that. Because most of the time the teacher even does not even know how to teach it like that. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. In Saqifah Banu Sa'idah, a orchard, the Muhajirin and Ansar are gathered. And they bring into Khilafat position Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu after Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gives the speech. And Sahaba Ikram, the elders who are there, they say, yes, no problem, that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was made our spiritual leader in the lifetime of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated and made him leave the Salah and also sent him to become the Hajj Amir. Therefore, he who was deputized in the lifetime of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he should become our Khalif and Amirul Mukmineen after the demise of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we learn there is one system. What's the system? That the going away ruler, the going away leader, what he does, he indicates. He indicates that so-and-so should become the ruler. So-and-so should become head. So-and-so should take the khilafat. Or so-and-so should take the position of chair. So he indicates it. He doesn't say it directly. By indicating, now by giving the job and by giving important responsibility while he's alive, he's showing the oncoming public that, listen, after I pass away, make this person the Amir, make him the Khalif. So by indication, he's stating this, that listen, no sooner I'm gone, make him your leader. This is what happened in the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is about to pass away. What he does, he consults now. He consults with senior personnel who are alive. He consults with them. And he says to them, I am going to bring Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu as your Khalif. So they say that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is very firm and very stern, and you are a tough person. If you're going to bring Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then he's going to be very firm and strong. And how is this going to be practical? So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu tells them that, see, now Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is very firm and stern. But once he becomes Khalif, he will be very soft. And he will be very affectionate. And he'll be very lenient to you. Do not worry about that. I take responsibility for that. Why? Because remember, when you look at history, when you find wherever Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is there. So he's understood him. He's understood his temperament. He's understood his cleverness and brilliance. He's understood the man. Now he says, bring a paper. He brings the paper and he writes that after I pass away, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has to be made Khalif. Now what do we learn now? This is a second method of to bring in your political deputy or political successor. First one, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he indicated. Second one, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he directly nominated. He said, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is going to be the Khalif. See this Western world, the so-called democratical world. They've got, you have to have the democratical system, which is a completely circular, batil, false system. Islam already, now I've explained to you in 5 minutes, is giving us already 2 systems. So that means Islam is more practical, more lenient, more flexible. And they are trying to tell us we are orthodox and we are strict and we are stringent. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is stabbed fatally while going to lead the Fajr Salat by Firoz Lu'lu. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to his son, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that 6 people, he nominates now 6 people. And who are these 6 people? Remember that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he in one sitting, in one gathering, he said Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Zubair fil Jannah, Talha fil Jannah. And he mentioned 10 Ashara Mubashara, and in that one sitting, he said these are in Jannah. When he came to the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was fatally wounded, there were 6 left from the 10. So what he said, those 6, they must sit down. He gave instructions to his son. He told his son that put them in one room and let them come out with a decision who is going to rule. So Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Hazrat Talha, Hazrat Saad ibn Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now what they did, they said, no, we do not want to become Khalif. they said, we give our right of khilafat, of becoming khalif, to the next person. Left was who? Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was given what you call the right to exercise the fasting vote. In case there be three, then he's got the right of fasting vote. Now fasting vote they're talking about now, and there they already discussed it in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, fasting vote system. Power of now making the last choice and the most important choice. But they did not have to use the services of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he already assessed the situation. He had a meeting with them, because he is one of the Ashar Abu Bashara, and he had a meeting. They said, no, leave Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now he told Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu that you go to your house. He told Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you go to your house. What he did now, Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he walked around in Medina. Now when we talk about walking around in Medina, that it does not mean that he was walking a great, great distance. Medina, it is stated in those days, the CBD of Medina, you know the current Masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the current Masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with its courtyard, that was the CBD of Medina to Munawwara of those days. That was it. So he was not walking very far. Then there is also a nice kitab, and if you go to our website alislam.co.za, go and download one book, Ziyarat of Medina. In it I have produced one diagram. The research was done by Dr. Maulana Muhammad Elias Abdul Ghani. The houses of the Sahaba who lived around Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the houses. In diagram form we've got it. So you can make out how the Sahabas were living. So Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went and he started consulting the senior Sahaba, asking them that who you think should be Khalif. So he went and created a survey. Now he's got in his mind the end result of his survey. End result of his survey is showing Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. So he goes to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and he tells Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala that if Usman becomes the Khalif, what do you say about it? So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, I got no problem. Because those days, respected elders, they did not hanker after power. These days, any jamaat having problems, any institute having problems, any organization having problems, it is why? Because of power, position, money, fame, glory. All these are the difficulties. Those days they never had this. That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith stated that he who is desirous of a post, don't give it to him. And these days this whole democratical system is what? Candidate is going house to house, door to door, and giving you lot of stuff and promises and whole mountain of promises that this will do. The mere fact a person is desirous of a post, he's not supposed to be given the post. Another hadith meaning Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, a person who is desirous of a post and then he gets the post, then the help of Allah Ta'ala is not on that person, not with that person. This is what we are seeing in the so-called Muslim world, that exactly this kafir democratical system they are following, they come into power. When they come into power, they steal. In a democratical system, in most democratical systems, so-called, they, when they come into power, it is their time to steal. And when they lose and the opposition come into power, then it is their time to steal. It is whose time to steal? Now, those days their hearts were pure. They were jannatis. They were pious people, righteous people, fearing Allah Ta'ala. These days organizations are run misappropriations of funds are taking place, wholesale and stealing is taking place, lying, deception, and they still remain in power because of mafia tactics and because they control certain high positions, that's why they are able to rule. Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and told him, see, if Ali becomes funny, what do you say? I got no problem. He went onto the mimbar and he addressed the congregation and he said that this is what Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. He left six people and he said, from the six, choose your khalif. I went around because only two candidates were left, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I have consulted the senior Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu majmaeen, and I pledge my allegiance to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I want you all to do the same. Let us finish. People with clean hearts. Okay, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, everybody started lighting up and taking the pledge, taking the bath with Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. See, now a third system has come. What is the third system? A political getting your caliph into power, getting your leader into power. That the going out leader, he nominates six, or he will nominate a number. And he says, from that number, now take out your Amir, now take out your Khalif, now take out your leader. So he's already restricted it. Then he can bring an overseer for the proceeding. The overseer for the proceeding, this is what they have got right, that they have got the electoral committee to look at the election. Then what they do inside, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he goes and consults senior Sahaba that what you have say about it. And then he takes their right, their opinion, their view, and he comes to a conclusion. Respected elders, every person in Islam, in a purely Muslim Islamic political system, every person is not given the right of vote. See, you've got a hospital. You got a hospital, take an example. Or you got a school. Or you got a chemical firm. Then when you have your meetings and your elections, that who you going to bring on the big power, or you going to bring the important seats, do you get the person who is offloading the garbage to make the decision? Do you get the person who is sweeping the theater to make the decision? Do you get the person who knows nothing about administration to make the decision? Do you get the person who is just watching the garden to make the decision? No, you have to have people of knowledge. You have to have people expertise knowledge. Then they make the right decision. Here everybody votes. And every person, what we know about politics and what is going on, but give him the right of vote. In Islam, the formula, I see time is going, about 2 minutes left. In Islam, the formula is qualified votership. The voter has to have certain qualifications. For qualified candidateship, the candidate in Islam has to have certain qualities. And what this will automatically produce, when you have qualified votership, for qualified candidateship, you will have qualified leadership. Why? Because you have good people coming out. There is one book of mine, it's on my website. Go under publication, then from publication go to current matters. There you will find an ideal constitution for any Islamic institution. The qualities of a voter are there. The qualities of the candidates are there. The qualities of the Amir are listed there. And where we got it from? There was a scholar, a very big scholar, Alama Mawardi. Mawardi. He wrote one kitab, Al-Ahkamul Sultaniya, Islamic Government. Islamic Governance. It's translated, you can read it. Then Allama Abu Hamid Ghazali has written Ihya'ul Ulum Deen. Go see there, these qualities are there. So we have passed through these various systems. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And time does not allow, because I still have to discuss how Hazrat Ali was brought into Khilafat, how Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala was brought into Khilafat, how Hazrat Maliyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was brought into Khilafat. In all, you are going to get about 7 political systems in order to for us to understand how versatile and how flexible Islamic politics is to bring your leader into power. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to understand this simple, beautiful deen which has been expounded, only we are not looking. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.